Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, my beautiful listeners. Welcome back or welcome to another episode of Here for the Crack with me, Emma Neal. How are we all doing? When you're listening to this, I have no idea exactly where I will be. Somewhere in Vietnam, I reckon. I pre-recorded a series of episodes to go out while I am in Vietnam. So just let me find my feet for a little while. I am going to record some episodes though while I'm out there to catch you up on everything. And I can't wait to talk to you and tell you all the stories and tell you all about it. But for the meantime, no life updates currently. You can keep up with my travels across literally all my other social media platforms. And I can't wait to fill you in on them all. So today we're going to do another girly chats episode. I haven't done like a full long girly chats episode in the longest time. I've done like a few little mini ones as a bonus episode. I need to get back on the bonus episode train. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, I'm treating you today with a full length girly chats episode. So let's just get straight into it, answering all your dilemmas while I cosplay as the big sister you never had. You know what? Actually, hold it right there. I am sat beside my radiator, which is on right now, and I'm actually sweating my tits off. I'm wearing a fluffy dressing gown with a hot cup of coffee, and I cannot carry on for 1 second longer. Let me go turn my heating off. Okay, we're back. Back and ready to go. Let's see. Taking relationships into uni. Is the stigma they won't work out true or not? P.S. Love all your pods. Thank you. Okay. I fully get this. Do you know the amount of people that preemptively break up because they're just thinking it's not going to work at uni? Like they've just decided that in their minds because of kind of like what other people have told them. And actually it's what happened with me and my first boyfriend when we left school. He just had it in his head that we had to break up because we were going to uni. And so we did. And then we just ended up getting back together. So I don't actually think this is always the case. But what I do think is that it's obviously a big transitional time in both of your lives. Like there's a lot of change going on. It's no longer going to be the relationship that it once was with you both living in the same place and going to the same school maybe. Like you're adding a lot of other complications and factors into what has been up until this point probably a pretty easy smooth sailing relationship. Or maybe it hasn't been that smooth sailing, so you're thinking, well, if all of this is going to be added on top of that, then we may as well just call it a day now. So on one hand, I'm like, I do get why people preemptively do that, because it's like, if we're already having issues at this stage, let's just be real with ourselves, you know, like let's not beat around the bush. But then on the other hand, I know so many couples, well, maybe not so many, that's a bit of an over-exaggeration. I do know some couples that have survived the whole uni thing and like going to completely different unis as well at that. So it's definitely not impossible. And I think it's one of those things where if it's meant to be, like if you guys are meant to be together, then this is just going to be another period of your lives together that you're going to work out. So it's definitely not impossible. And oh my God, I really take my hat off actually to any couple that has survived that. I think like any kind of big transitional periods in your life that involve so much change like that, it's probably so normal to just as you, because when big changes come into your life like that, you change and you grow as a person and your whole environment and your friends and everything changes around you, your hobbies, your interests, your day-to-day, what your day-to-day life looks like changes so much. It's so normal as a result of that for you to outgrow a relationship. And so I look at couples that have been together since they were, say, like 16, 17, 18, and I'm like, it's so crazy that you're still able to be in the same relationship when looking back, you're completely different people, but they've obviously grown in a way that is still able to make the relationship work. And I think that's actually very rare. What often happens is that two people grow in opposite directions, and that's, you know, what ends up causing them to feel like they're so far apart. And then causing so much distance in the relationship and then ultimately them breaking up. So, you know, when you look at two people that have been together since they're 16, and even they will say themselves, like, we were completely different people when we're 16, but like it just still works now, we've grown together. That's crazy to me. Because I think about 16, 17 year old me and I'm like, who is she? I have no idea who she is. Like, I'd be mortified if I was the same person as I was then. But I think everyone should be a bit mortified if they were, because that shows that you've grown. It's like someone said to me once, if you're not embarrassed by the content that you would have put out like a year or two ago, you're not growing. I thought, thank fuck for that. Because I actually think I would jump off a cliff if I had to listen to a podcast from 2 years ago that I recorded. And to think that people can still go back and listen to them now, like, it actually makes me want to delete them all, but I'm not going to. I'm just not going to overthink it. Anyway, yeah, people change. And I think in the process of changing, you can go one of two ways. And I think it's a very, very normal time to go through a breakup. It's also probably kind of a good time to go through a breakup, because there is so much like new exciting things going on in your life and you're out of your old routines. Do you ever get when you have a breakup but then you're like stuck in the same routine? That's when you miss them the most, is because you're doing your normal everyday shit that you would have done with them, but it's now without them. Like, that's a harder adjustment to make than living a whole new life without them, because you were never used to them being in this new life in the first place. So if you're going to go through a breakup, I mean, I guess it's a good time to do so. You've got a lot of distractions to take your mind off it. But I also wouldn't jump the gun and preemptively do it if there's nothing wrong with the relationship, just because you're of the mindset like, oh, but it's what everyone does. It doesn't have to be what you do as well. It's a very case-by-case scenario, and obviously I don't know your relationship, so I can't really answer that one, but I hope that helps. All right, next dilemma. We've been seeing each other for 9 months. When should he ask me to be his girlfriend? Oh, I have strong opinions about this, you know. But let me explain myself. Okay, so I think if you're like really casually dating someone to the point that you're maybe only seeing each other every other week, you're maybe both like very open and dating other people, you're not really kind of texting in the interim, like it's very much a casual dating situation, I completely get why it could go on for 9 months, because maybe you've got 4 or 5 months of that plus like two people going on holiday in the summer thrown in there, which takes off a month, and before you know it you've hit the 9 month mark and you've only really been like seriously dating for 3. So I do get how it can go to that point without the question being asked. However, I think if you're seriously dating someone, you're both closed off, you're only dating each other, you're very much acting like boyfriend and girlfriend in terms of like the way you communicate and the dates you go on and just like how it feels. Do you know what I mean? You know how it feels. You know what the vibe is, I think, pretty much, well, very soon on. And obviously that can progress, you know, if it is casual, that can progress. But also there's a lot of times where it just starts off pretty seriously, so it doesn't have to progress, if you know what I mean. Well, like the only progression is to be in a relationship, really. So in that case, when you're like 100% for each other, just ask, like, what are you waiting for? Just ask. In my eyes, you could literally ask after 2 months. Well, maybe not 2 months, maybe that's a bit soon, but when you know, do you know what I mean? And if you know that person's going to be your girlfriend, why not just make them your girlfriend? What are you waiting for? If that's what you want and you don't want to date other people and you don't want there to be a chance of like this awkward conversation of what are we, just fucking ask. It's that simple. If you're getting girlfriend treatment, there should be a girlfriend label in my eyes. And there's certain things that until I have that label, I won't do. For example, I will not meet your parents if I'm not your girlfriend. What are you going to introduce me as? Oh, here's my wee friend that's a girl I've been seeing. No, absolutely not. I've had all different lengths of times for this happening, but my boyfriend now, I think we were only 3 months before he asked me, and he'd also mentioned about calling into his parents' house to meet them before I was his girlfriend, and I just straight up was like, no, what are you gonna introduce me as? Like, absolutely not. So I think you're within your rights to withhold on certain things and make it clear why. And I know some people will maybe be a bit nervous to do this, or will try and think like, when's the right time, or will base it off what like friends have told them, and you know, you have to wait 6 months or whatever the kind of timeline might be, the stereotypical timeline. But I just think if it feels right and it feels like you should be in a relationship, whether that's 3 months in or 9 months down the line, then that should happen. And if not, I just think like if he wanted to, he would. So why is he not? Because if he's keeping his options open, then run a mile and never look back. Someone that wants to keep their options open when you've been giving them girlfriend treatment for 9 months. No, I get keeping your options open in the first few months in case it all goes tits up and they actually end up being a complete narcissist and you end up getting your heart broken or something. So yeah, keep your options open at that point. You don't want to let the person you're dating get in the way of finding your husband. I fully back that. However, 9 months of them keeping their options open and not asking you to be their girlfriend, red flag. They should want to make you theirs, you know what I mean? They should be like, I need to make this girl mine before she finds someone else. And if that's not the case, I think that speaks volumes. Okay, this is actually a really interesting one. I've been with my boyfriend since the age of 14. I'm now 21 and I hate to feel like I'm missing out, as all my friends talk about exes and different experience with guys, and I know no different. Haven't been single since I was a child, but I'm in the healthiest relationship and can't help but envy other people at times. Do you think that you need to experience single life before settling with someone? Just want your thoughts. Oh my God, I don't know how to answer this one. So straight away, my mind goes to, oh my God, you 100% need to experience single life, or like have multiple experiences with different people. But I think that's because I'm basing that off of my, you know, first few relationships where obviously I needed to experience different things because they weren't the right thing. So if the, let's say my relationship now happened when I was younger, would I still be of the same opinion? I don't know. I don't know that I would know how to appreciate the relationship because I wouldn't have, like, I don't know that I would know how to, I would have learned all the lessons and I'd know how to show love and I'd know how to communicate and I'd know how to appreciate the relationship that I'm in and like know how good it is if I didn't have the previous experiences. So I find it really hard to imagine just having that straight away because I know I needed the different experience for my own personal growth. And like same as what I was saying earlier when we were discussing the first dilemma, like if I think about me when I was 14 meeting my current boyfriend, it probably wouldn't have worked out. I was a completely different person, so was he, and we've both done like completely different things over the last however many years. Oh my God, it's been 11 years since I was 14, fucking hell. Over the last 11 years, like our lives wouldn't have worked together, so I definitely don't think it would have worked. Like I needed prior relationships and he probably did too, so that we could then meet at the right time, having had the experiences that we've had. So I honestly just find this one so hard to envision for myself. If I'm speaking like 100% honestly, I would say that you do. But then at the same time, I'm like, no, you can't say that because you're obviously saying that you're in a really healthy and good relationship. And who am I to tell you otherwise? Like if you're in a healthy, good relationship, that's a slay. That's a huge slay that you've been able to do that from 14 to 21. I just know for me, no matter how healthy that was, I'd be itching to, and this is the thing, when you say I'd be itching to get out of it, I don't even mean to be a whore for a while. Like if that's what you want to do, go do that. But I don't even mean that. I just mean like time to be single, time to like develop outside of a relationship and kind of like be known as you, as yourself, and not as you and your partner, because that can happen so much. I think when you're in a relationship is everything becomes like about you as a couple and it can make you feel like you're losing yourself. And I feel like I would just convince myself I was losing myself over and over again until I'd fully put myself off the relationship, no matter how healthy it was. And maybe that's a me problem. I've always, from a young age, this is such a weird thing to say, I don't know that I've ever said this out loud, but I've always, from a young age, wanted myself to have multiple different kinds of relationships. And sorry, let me explain what I mean by that. So there was this girl that I knew of, right? And she was a lot older than me, but I would just always, you know, like kind of like a distant family friend kind of person that you would like really look up to, you know, like your older cousin kind of vibes. Well, obviously she's not my older cousin. She has no idea who I am. Anyway. Oh my God, this sounds so creepy. So I would always see that she'd be like in different relationships, and it was always with a very different kind of boy. You know what I mean? Like one time she was with the rugby boy, and one time she was with the actor boy, and one time she was with like a skater dude. And then I don't know, like I just felt like she was always in different relationships with different boys. And I was like, I really want that for myself. Like I just really want to feel like I've lived life and experienced all these different kinds of relationships and then know what I want and be so happy in what I have because I know it's what I want because I've experienced all these things. And that's not to say in order to be happy in your person, you have to have had that. But I think I always liked that idea for myself. And that's not to say all my ex-boyfriends were completely different, actually. If anything, they were maybe all cut from the same cloth. But yeah, for some reason, I always knew that I wanted to have multiple experiences like that so that it would mean more to me when I knew I'd found the one. And I think I always have that question for people that get into relationships young and end up with them their whole lives. I'm like, but do you never wonder? Like, I always want to quiz them about it. I have a friend that was in a relationship from when she was like 14 or 15 for 7 years. And I think she would openly say that she just didn't know any different. But then again, that's one that like didn't work out. So there was probably issues there. So it's like, you didn't know any different. Oh, I don't know, guys. I don't know that I'm a good person to answer this question because I am just of the opinion that you do need multiple experiences and you need to like live your life and have fun. And it's not about shagging all around you. It's about just like enjoying life single. And like, you do live a different life when you're single compared to when you're in a relationship. And I don't care how many people say, oh no, I'm the same person, I'm the same person. Yeah, but you might be the same person at your core, but you do live a completely different life. You talk to more people, you're closer with your friends, you do things more sporadically and like spontaneously. You go maybe on trips that you wouldn't go on if you were in a relationship. Like, you live such a different life, and to never have those experiences, to go through life never having those periods of time, I do think you're depriving yourself of something. And I'm sure there's a lot of people completely disagreeing with me right now and saying, you know, if it's good, then you don't need to experience that. But I just think you do. I really think you do. Like, looking back on loads of the things I've done in my life, I know for a fact I wouldn't have opened myself up to those things if I was in a relationship. And that's the things that you are just like more open to different life experiences when you're single, because you don't have as many things to consider and as many things tying you down, and you don't have like your little safety blanket. You just do push yourself out of your comfort zone more. And that's also not me saying that I live a boring life now that I'm in a relationship. It's just different. And I personally would not like if I didn't have both of those. Do you know what I mean? If I was to look back on my 20s and teens and think, oh my God, I've never experienced that, I'd be raging at myself. So I'm really sorry if that has completely thrown you off. Maybe ask someone else as well. Okay, next dilemma. How do I get over the fear of first dates? I want to go, but it just feels so scary. Girl, I feel you. I feel you on a spiritual level. Like, I would be showing up to first dates furiously trembling. It feels like a job interview, honestly. Like, if anything, it feels more scary than a job interview. Because at least in a job interview, you can put on like a full facade, but you don't really want to put on a facade in front of a first date because you want to be you. Okay, here's my tips. First of all, do not text them. Like, don't overly text them and have conversations with them before the date. Arrange the date and let that be it. Just meet on the day. Let there be no conversation in the interim period. You don't want to show up and have like all the kind of initial starter conversation, starter questions have been already asked by text. Like, how shit is that? What are you going to say to them? Obviously, that's going to make you more nervous because you like know all this random knowledge about someone that you don't know and that you're now having to sit in front of and think about what to say. Like, save it all for the date. And do not panic that you're not messaging and stuff before. Like, don't overthink it and think, oh my God, he's not texting me before. Get the fuck over it. You're going to speak on the date. You don't need to be constantly texting each other in the run up to it. Trust me. Okay, another big thing for me, this is something that I do for anything that I'm nervous for. Like, if I'm nervous for like a public speaking thing, an interview thing, a date, what else? Oh, like when I was taking my yoga classes last summer, for the first like 2 weeks, I would get so nervous when it would like get closer to the time where I was taking them. So I would do this literally every single week. Okay, so sometimes when you're getting quite anxious about something and, you know, your heart rate's going and you start to overthink and all that, and a lot of the time you've got all this like pent up energy, but you're not expending it, and instead you're just kind of like overthinking. And actually the best thing you can do for that energy is just go and expend it. So I would just go on a run. And bear in mind, I was not a runner at the time. Like, I fucking despised running, but I just decided I just have to do this to get rid of this like anxious energy in my body. So I would just go for a run before my yoga class and I felt so much better for it. And I honestly think you can apply this to like anything that you're nervous for, is just go and expend a load of energy, go to the gym, go do a run, do some skipping, just like something that takes your mind off it but moves your body, so you're kind of like using your heart rate that's increased, if that makes sense, but on something else as opposed to spiraling and freaking out. You honestly feel so much more clear-headed after it, and you're like, wow, what was all that about? Another tip, I think, is just distraction in general. Like, if you say, let's say it's a Saturday, you're going on a date on a Saturday night. If you're sitting in your house all day on your own, just waiting to get ready for the date, obviously you're going to be freaking out. Obviously it's going to be the only thing you're going to think of. So I think in this instance, like, distractions are key so that you're not thinking about it until you literally arrive at the date, or till you're on your way to the date, and then you can maybe start getting a little bit panicky about it. But that's okay. Like, it's normal to get nervous in the taxi, let's say, on the way to the date. That's so normal. That's a normal amount of nerves to have. What you should try and avoid is like literally being nervous and freaking out about it all day. And I think if you can distract yourself, see friends, you know, maybe go to a class in the morning, go for a walk with someone, go get lunch, like, keep yourself busy and occupied. So you're not just sitting there thinking, oh my God, I have to start getting ready. Oh my God, what am I going to say? Oh my God, how am I going to greet them? Oh my God, the greeting's the worst. That is the worst. How do you greet someone? Like, are they going to go in for the hug? Are they going to go in for a kiss? Is the cheek kiss? Are they even going to get up from their seat? Am I going to recognize them? Oh, the greeting is the fucking worst. And then my final tip would be to just have like a vibey getting ready session. So like, you know, the way you do when you're having like your girls' night and your music's playing and you're doing your makeup and you're having a glass of wine, do like replicate that so that you've got the kind of good vibes leading up to going on the date and you're not panicking about it at that stage. Maybe even have your friend come over and get ready with you and have a drink with them so that you're like chatting to someone and fully distracted before going to meet the person on the date. I'm definitely a drink before a date kind of person, although you need to be careful about this. You don't want to be showing up actually tipsy. Like, I'm talking literally one drink, not a full bottle. And I know that is like a bit of a problem. Like, I know people that are so happy to go on coffee dates or like walk dates for their first dates, but I'm sorry, that could just never be me. No, I cannot imagine that. No, you must wine and dine me. Well, actually, not dine. For a first date. No, I think it's drinks only for a first date. It's a bit awkward. Like, it's a bit intense sitting across from someone having to eat like a two-course meal and like watch each other eat when you're first meeting and like having to pause when you've got food stuck in your teeth. No. It's solely drinks, I think, for the first couple of dates at least. But yeah, fair fucks to anyone that can do sober dating. I take my hat off to you. Oh, this is the big question. Can you be friends with your ex? Okay, so I reckon if you were friends with your ex before, let's say you were in the same friend group for a few years and you didn't actually get together until like a good while after that, so you'd very much established a friendship before a relationship, then I would probably say there's no reason why you couldn't go back to that, especially if you still have the same friend group and are going to be surrounded by those people for potentially the rest of your life. And you don't really want to fuck up that friendship group, and you want that, you want to still have that group basically in your life, and you know in order to have that you kind of need to be friends with your ex, then I do get how you could go back to being friends with your ex. But I do think you need probably an in-between period of not speaking to them. I don't think you can go from being in a full-blown relationship to just being friends with them again. Like, there needs to be a cool-off period where there's a bit of distance, you know, no contact, and then eventually you can like re-establish the relationship as what it was before as a friendship. Obviously things will be a bit different and you'll probably be a bit more reserved in certain ways, but I'm not opposed to that. Like, I don't see why not, but I don't get, like, if you just started dating your ex-boyfriend, like if you just met him on a night out and started dating him, or met him on a dating app and just like the relationship went, like it started from dating and it was always a romantic thing, and they're not a part of any of your friend groups, they're not friends with your friends, like I don't get why you'd want to be friends with them. I just can't imagine a scenario where I'd want to be friends with my ex like that. Like, what would that bring to my life? Unless it's like kids are involved or a dog's involved or something, then yeah, it's obviously beneficial for you to be friends and to keep that relationship on good terms. But that's like a whole other scenario, you know? If we're talking literally your ex that you met on a dating app that has not really many like mutual friends, and if you cut ties with them, it wouldn't affect anything else in your life. Like, they would be the only person that would be out of your life as a result of that. What interest do you have in keeping them around as a friend? I don't know. Maybe it's just because I can't imagine that for me. The only other scenario I can think of is maybe like if both people just kind of fell out of love and it just like wasn't the right thing romantically, but they still had a really good friendship, but there was like no chance of them ever getting back together. Like, that just wasn't on the cards. Like, now I kind of see each other as like brother and sister kind of relationship, and it kind of like icks them out, but they have a really good friendship still, then I don't know, I guess maybe that. But I just think any future partners would be a bit freaked out by that as well. Don't you reckon? I do think though, if they're part of your friendship group, like it can work. It will just be different. You maybe not be as close as you were one-on-one when you, like before. Like, you wouldn't go out of your way to meet up with just them, or maybe like just them and one other person. But like if they're within a group scenario, then obviously you can like be friends with each other. So yeah, I get why you can be friends with your ex in that case, but otherwise I just think, why? That would be my question. Am I too full-on / rushing things with my boyfriend? 1 year in, currently traveling for 6 months together in our mid-20s. I own my own flat and would love it if he moved in 2024. Should I wait for him to ask? I'm so happy where we are now. I don't want to accidentally put pressure on him and strain things. I feel like I've talked about living with partners before a lot on this podcast, and it's something I just think you shouldn't rush into, even if it's what you want. And what I mean by that is that, okay, so for example, me and my boyfriend now, we probably spend, I'd say, 5 or 6 out of 7 nights in a week together. Obviously, we'd be fine living, we'd be good living together. I don't doubt that for 1 second. And like with the amount of nights we do spend together, it probably would kind of make sense in a way. However, I just think you right now, you're never going to be this young again. Okay, at any given moment, you're never going to be this young. You said you own your own flat. Relish in it. Enjoy this time where you have your own flat and you are this young and you're able to have this space from your partner and this like want to see them because you don't live together. And you, do you know what I mean? Like the want and the desire that that creates is really healthy in a relationship and is something that for so many years you're not going to experience because you are going to live with them. And sorry, that's not to say there's obviously other ways you can create desire and things when you do live together. I don't mean that, but like having your own space is such a blessing. You should feel so lucky that you have that space of your own to call yours and to make your own and to enjoy. And I just think don't let anyone come in and not ruin that, because I don't doubt that you would have a great time together. Like you've just said, you're spending 6 months traveling the world together. I think traveling is a huge, it's a big indicator of a relationship, of whether a relationship's going to work or not. If you can travel the world together and like stay in hostels and, you know, really see the bad side of each other like that, because all sides of you can come out when you're traveling. If you can survive that, I think you can survive a lot. So I don't doubt that you would enjoy living together, but I just think, right, if this is going to be a forever thing, you potentially have the next 80 years of your life to live with them. Why rush into it and do it now? Because realistically, when you move in with someone, there's not usually a moving out but staying together. Like you never really take that step backwards unless, I don't know, on the rare occasion someone gets a job in another country and you end up doing long distance, or, you know, decide this is the best thing for you to move out. That rarely happens. What usually happens is people move in together and that's them for the rest of their life living together. You know, whether that just be them or have housemates or then have kids and have families and obviously then live together for the rest of their lives. Or they move in together, they break up, they move out. Like, it doesn't tend to go any other way. That's the two most common paths moving in together goes. So if that is the case, why rush into it? Especially when you have your own place. Do you know how amazing it is and how blessed you are to have a space to call your own, that like you can invite your friends around to, or you can have your parents around to, that you don't have to like make sure is okay with other people, and you don't have to like make sure you're being conscious of other people's schedules and whether they want the loud music to be playing while you're in the shower, or like all these different things. Or, you know, if your partner works from home, then you've like, you're adding like a whole other thing into it of like what you can do in the day in your own house. I don't know. I'm just like really strongly of the opinion that the longer you can put this off for, the better, because you're never going to get this chance again. And now, I don't mean the longer the better in terms of, I would never, like, for example, marry someone having not lived with them. I think you need to have lived with someone to know, like, if you're going to be able to live with them. So I don't mean like that long, but I just think, you know, you've been together, what did you say? Was it a year? Just enjoy the first few years of being in a relationship and not having the added pressure of living together, because I think we look at things like this with rose-tinted glasses when we're in love and we have this romanticized version of what we think living together would be like. But let's be a bit real here. Like, let's get our realist glasses on for a second, because what pressure does it add to a relationship realistically? Because now you've got to split the household labor, you've got to deal with bills and breakages together. Like, all these added things come into it, and then it's like, if you want to do something to the house, you have to consult, because it's now not only your space. Like, what if they don't like that color, or what if they don't like that sofa? Do you know what I mean? Like, it sounds very basic, but it does actually add a lot of pressure to a relationship that I think is completely unnecessary to introduce to a relationship until you're at least a few years in. And I know people have differing opinions on that, and I know sometimes as well it financially makes sense and everything. But based off of your dilemma and what you're saying and how you literally have your own flat, it's not a financial thing. You're just kind of like getting excited about the relationship and rushing into it, and there's no need to rush. But I do get why you get caught up in it and want to rush, and especially after having traveled together and like spent all that time together. Like, you literally don't leave each other's side. Like, you're joined at the hip when you're traveling together. So obviously coming back from that, you're going to have like low-key a bit of attachment issues. Like, I genuinely will have attachment issues coming back from traveling for 2 months with my boyfriend, and I will say that openly out loud. I know for a fact I will, because I even know what I'm like when he leaves after the weekend. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to, you're constantly switching between being like lover girl and then independent girl, and it's like sometimes you just get a big caught up in it and you have your like attachment issue moments. And I can pretty much guarantee that will 100% happen to you when you come home from your 6 months of traveling together, and you'll want to just straight away be like, move in with me so we don't have to be apart. But just take a step back from it for a second and think about long term, and the fact that if you're going to be with this person for the rest of your life, then you have the rest of your lives to move in together. Okay, guys, I think we will leave it there this week for the Girly Chats episode. I hope you enjoyed this one. If you did, don't forget to give me a little 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it on your Instagram stories and on your TikToks. I love seeing it all. As always, thank you all so much for your continued love and support on the podcast. It means the absolute world to me. I will speak to you in next week's episode. Bye.